Connection Podcast!
That's right, we're back for our latest MWCConnection.com podcast, or Mountain West Connection podcast, discussing all things Mountain West. Is that enough Mountain Wests in there for you?
I think we need to add one more Mountain West plug, you know. But just remember that while we cover the Mountain West, we are not the Mountain West. Rather, we are Mountain West Connection. So. Yes.
That is Chris giving that great explanation of who we are. And I'm Jeremy here. Just time to discuss football. So close. Its kickoff is a mere, we'll go weeks away. It's creeping up on us. We'll have football pretty soon. And tonight we're doing our New Mexico show. And I know that's your favorite team, right? Outside of Boise State. Is that correct?
Outside of Boise State, they're quickly growing into at least one of my favorite teams, or at least the football team is, just because of the addition of Football Bob.
Yes, Football Bob. Bob Davey, who is transforming his offense to, instead of being a, well, it's still a run-based offense, but not what he did at Notre Dame. Not 10 guy. Well, let's see. Can he put nine offensive linemen on the front and run the ball to one running back?
I believe those other four offensive linemen are called tight ends.
I'm just saying, on the line. I'm just saying, he's not doing that. They brought in the, I should know the guy's name offhand, but from Sam Houston State a couple last season to run that pistol offense, which surprisingly got a lot of results. So basically, discussing all things in Mexico. It's just me and Chris tonight. We had some getting some other guys on with a little bit of conflict just because of timing and everything. Apparently, we're not big time enough to get certain people on the show.
I'm not sure if it's we're not big time enough or, you know, we just typically do things at awkward hours. So
or last minute, I emailed somebody about 4 hours ago. I'm like, sorry.
Yeah.
The email, right? Yes. But then, whatever. We know we can get our hands full with New Mexico here. And basically, they didn't suck last year. We can start with that. They were not terrible. Dumbles came back and beat your Boise State Broncos.
I know. And that really, that was the turnaround for them in terms of the season. Because they started off the season 2-2. Well, I mean, let's be honest, those were pretty bad teams.
Correct.
You know, they beat Southern and they beat New Mexico State. And then they just got manhandled by Texas and Texas Tech. But the Boise State game, whatever they did in terms of the game, I mean, they just, from that point on, they then went on a two-game winning streak.
For them, that's a winning streak, yes. We'll count that as for them.
We will count, for New Mexico, we will count that as a winning streak. And the rest of the games that they lost by 5 to Air Force, which could have been a win. They lost by 17 to Fresno State, but they were competitive for most of that game.
Mm-hmm.
At UNLV, well, we'll just skip over that. Once again, lost by 5 to Wyoming, another game they should have won. Lost by 7 to Nevada, another game they should have won. And lost by 4 to Colorado State, yet another game they should have won.
Flip those around, they could have been a bowl team last year quite easily.
Exactly. And what I mean they should have won, I mean there were quite literally one or two plays that changed the outcome of the game from them winning that game.
Yeah, if you're within a touchdown, like the Nevada, CSU, if you're with a touchdown, and then even Boise State, they made that comeback. There's always just a player or two here and there where on either side of the ball, whether they did something right or the other team did something, whatever it would be, it's only a couple plays to flip it around. That's if they could somehow, what did they go last year, 4-9? Because they played at Hawaii State, they won 7 games last year, but those 5 games, or excuse me, yeah. five games within a touchdown. You can easily win 3 of those, you're going to bowl game, you know what I mean? And that's the thing where a team's getting better. It's like we've been saying for UNLV forever. Last year they got better because they weren't getting embarrassed as often.
And really, UNLV could have had a couple more wins last year.
Yeah, same thing.
Like, hi, Nevada!
Yes, but basically we're getting at, they're so close, if they can figure out, know how to win, they'll come back and get these wins. And I don't know if they'll be a bowl team, this show will be pretty close, but basically, hanging with all these teams, yeah, well, okay, we know Wyoming's not the greatest team, and neither was CSU, but New Mexico has been, like, bad, like, number 120 NCAA bad, like, at the bottom 10. So to be able to hang with teams that are even 20 or 30 spots higher from, like, the Sagarin or F-plus rankings, it's a pretty good accomplishment. Now, this year, they just need to get some wins, and they could do that with, because part of the reason they made the comeback, they put Cole Gauch as the permanent quarterback partway through the season. Gauchy, for the quarterback for he played almost every game, but he didn't replace Bjarne Holbrook until partway through the year.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, as soon as Gauthier stepped in, he's going to be a sophomore this year. He was a freshman last year, yes. And he was, you know, hey, three-star recruit, you start out using him. I know they weren't planning on using him until later, but they used him, especially when B.R. Holbrook wasn't getting results.
Oh, and injured. And so, I think he got hurt in Texas a little bit, too, I believe, if I recall.
Yeah, he did get hurt. He did get hurt in Texas, but he never was able to win his spot back.
Correct.
And part of the reason why was, I mean, yes, Gauthier only passed for 42%. I mean, those are Tim Tebow-esque numbers. But, first of all, the yards per attempt went up from, you know, 5 to 7, which is a significant. You're getting a first down almost every 2 downs. He was definitely more of a true triple option quarterback instead of a pistol, which meant he was able to avoid sacks. He was only sacked once last year.
Yeah, that's quite impressive. He did show some throwing capability in that Wyoming game. That was his best game by far throwing the ball. He 8 of 15, 155, 2 TDs, no picks, rating of 184. So he can throw what they need him to do, because I think he's the key. We know he can run the ball. We'll get to Casey Carrier later. He'll run off whatever he wants to run off and do very well running the ball. But it's like I could compare this offense to Air Force. They had Tim Jefferson. They had Connor Dietz. They have all these guys who could throw the ball. But they're runners first, but they actually have the ability to throw the ball downfield. If Gauthier can have the presence, or at least make the defense know he can complete some decent passes, or complete the downfield threat when they've run 10 straight times and it's 3rd and 2 and they go deep try to go for a deep ball. If he can have the threat to throw and throw, you know, I mean, just to basically improve, if he's a threat throwing the ball, that'll open up everything. That means they can't put 8 guys in the box, 9 guys in the box, however many they want to put in just single coverage or 1 or 2 wide outs or tight end. They have to basically be ready for it all. If he can at least throw 55% of your passes, go. Who cares? Complete 4 or 7 every game. But
here's the thing: is they have to have somebody to throw to.
Well, yeah, but good point.
Look, last year they really didn't. I mean, they had Ty Kirk. They had Lamar Thomas.
Well, they lost their tight ends the year before. They all transferred.
They lost their tight ends. They lost Lucas Reed. Well, no, Lucas Reed did play last year. But, I mean, this year they've got Chase Clayton, who I've never heard of. They have Carlos Wiggins, who I've never heard of.
Who are these people again?
Exactly. Wait. We've got a redshirt freshman, and we've got a 2 freshmen who possibly have a chance to make the starting squad this year. We got Ridge Jones, which I already love the name, and Jalen Judkins. So, Judkins is huge. He's 6'3", 208. So if you just set him out on the wing and just use him as...
Is he a tight end at 6'8", or wide receiver at 6'8"?
No. He's 6'3", 208.
Oh, I thought you said 6'8". I'm like, geez, that's a giant.
No, he's still a giant for a wide receiver, though. I mean, that's pretty darn big.
That's what he wants. Like, an NFL guy like Andre Johnson, he just throw it up there, and he'll catch a 6'4", whatever. Because all the DBs typically are 5'10".
Right.
6 foot, you're lucky. And so that obviously can do work in that fade drop pretty good when they get close. If they bunch, that works very well, especially this run-type offense. Play action, the roll out to the fade, put him one-on-one with somebody, throw it in the corner. He's tall enough to out-jump anybody and get the ball. At least that's probably the plan they're going to use him at this year.
Well, you're also going to want to do, like, little bubble screens to Casey Carrier and Jarrell Presley as well.
Definitely.
And that's the only way I can see New Mexico honestly being successful in the passing game. Because we know that their game is going to be run.
And they've proven to be successful last year for the most part.
And they've proven to be extremely successful. They also get Caruso Gongbe this year.
Yeah, oh, yes.
Running game.
I think that's your favorite name.
That is my favorite name of New Mexico.
And their offensive line is actually pretty stout, too. They got two, at least, like, people think, oh, a guard's nothing. But in this offense, you need a guard who's athletic, who can like a pulling guard. And then they got Daryl Johnson tackle, because they're like, oh, the guard's nothing, the center's nothing. But in this offense, you need those guys to be athletic, because you've seen, like, a lot of teams do it. They'll have the guard on the right side. They'll just do a slow handoff to the left side, the guard will come right between and be a lead blocker. That's what he'll be there for, most likely, to kind of bring out an extra defender, especially if they're doing an option you have. Because in that case, you'll have, like, say, the left tackle, going outside, the right guard doing the swing around for the pull, and you got the quarterback or running back, so you got two guys blocking you, a couple guys coming in front, you could still do the option toss or whatever your read option or option is going to be in that case. So that's, your offensive line should be better, and you said, one sack last year, partly because they run all the time, which is a big reason there's few sacks, but they put up one of the best rushing attacks in the country, and the offensive line cannot be overlooked even for at all. Look at Air Force. They have all those, well, slender guys because of their circumstances, who they can bring in, but they got to be athletic guys. Or Nevada's offense is a good example, too. You got to be athletic enough to be able to run downfield to keep that blocker going. You don't know what's going on behind you. You don't know who has the ball sometimes when they're doing the option. So you got to take out whoever it is and just go downfield as hard as you can and take people out.
No, exactly. And I, along with that, when we're talking about the offensive line, if you look at Bill Connolly's preview, the offensive line, like in terms of statistics that he's coming up with, was not bad at all. It was actually very good considering the circumstances. So you have a decent offensive line to work with. You just don't have the quarterback, and that'll be Gauci this year. Gauci needs to learn to be a little bit more patient and not just take off running with everything.
Yes.
I mean, even look at Cody Fajardo, look at Colin Kaepernick, look at those guys who have successfully run the pistol in the past. They, as much as they run around all the field, they still have just a tiny bit of patience, just a split second of patience to know whether they're going to run or throw.
Yeah, that's why they do the wide turn on the option. They don't go straight. They don't do the quick option like Air Force. They'll do it sometimes, but it won't always be the quick option where you run right behind your tackle or tight end, right to that straight line. They'll do kind of a longer one where it gives the option to toss it or throw it downfield. So typically to somebody who's – they're not going to throw across body. It's going to be somebody going with them to that side of the field. So that's what they'll kind of do, I guess, extend the play a little bit to give them – like I said, to give them a half second, a tenth of a second to – see who's coming after him, to whether keep it, toss it, or throw it to somebody downfield.
Yeah, but I mean, that being said, I mean, that just comes with growth and maturity.
And he got got thrown in last year because of injury. He was going to play anyway, so he played that first game, but he was expected to be just the change of pace guy, essentially, like just come in for every now and then to run the ball, but he proved so effective. It was basically him about midway through the season is him only, and then Holbrook came in if they needed the pass, and that's a terrible situation to have. If you change quarterbacks because it's third and long, you know what's coming. They're going to do what they can to not get the ball downfield or not let you pass the ball, whether blitz like crazy or drop eight guys and have three rushers. So that's why we go back to he needs to throw the ball better because they can't do a – it's not like you're pitching in baseball where you bring in the particular pitcher to go against the right batter to get that advantage. There's no advantage if they know it's 3rd and 12 and you're at midfield. What are you going to do? You're going to throw the ball.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, and that being said, really, I think what New Mexico's true focus this year definitely needs to be the defense.
They need and to create turnovers.
What?
Create some turnovers, man.
Oh, yeah, no, totally. I think, what was it? How many? The defensive line didn't force any interceptions. Actually, though, their linebackers forced 6, and their secondary forced 4.
So I don't have that, but they only had – I got it right here now. They did get – well, they did get – actually, they did pretty good, better than I thought. They actually did a plus – well, they're plus like 0.85, plus 11, which is actually good. So maybe we need to disregard that. They did better than that.
No. They had zero push up front.
Well, yeah, that's different than getting turnovers. But yeah, getting turnovers is key for any team. I thought they were worse than last year. I didn't realize they were 3rd in the league at plus 11. They need to keep that consistent because, like, look at – not to go back on Hawaii, they were minus 14 all year, and they're worse in the league, and that kills you. They got to stay at least even. If they can get to plus 1 per game, they'll – be caked. They'll be perfectly fine all year. They just can't. Just got to kind of go to plus 1. I think for them, because their skill set's not great, they need to not lucky bounces, but get the big hit, get strip the ball, or get without giving up, just going after the ball where they got to make a play, not to just where, oh, we need to get the ball back, and they'll just go and try to rip the ball, and the guy just stiffs arm you, sidesteps you, and it's a 50-yard game. They need to just kind of maintain that at least, and then they're going to get better. You're assuming with the starters they're bringing back, they'll get better, but I just misspoke. I, for some reason, out there at the bottom of the league in turnover margin, but stay at the same pace, get a little better, and you'll be on your way to hopefully six wins.
Right. And I'm going to go ahead and throw one more thing is, I mean, they lost four of their defensive line last year, which according to Bill wasn't a bad thing, which is true. But this year, okay, you potentially could be starting three stars. Garen Bourne, who didn't see any playing time last year, even though he's going to be a sophomore this year. Three-star, Garen Bourne, 6'2", 280. And then you have the opportunity to possibly switch out Donnie White Jr. and William Ude, who are both freshmen, but once again, switch them out, see some playing time, rotate those
on the line, yeah.
Ends and tackles. Both of those guys are pretty big, 6'3", 215, 6'2", 225. Or they're smaller, but they can probably work their way around the ends to get to the quarterback. If you just have a little bit of push, get a little bit of pressure on the quarterback. I mean, this is a team that only sacked. What was it?
Eight, seven, right here. But this is correct. I think seven.
Seven sacks on the defensive line,
and five came from Ja'Cory Green. He was the only guy to get push. He got the eight tackles for loss. He only had 25 tackles, but
Ja'Cory Green will be back this year, though.
Oh, yeah. So, I thought he was. Yeah. Oh, I must be reading that incorrectly. Oh, my mistake. I thought Bold meant.
No, he's a senior, so he'll be the guy who leads everybody, and that will definitely be the leadership that the defensive needs.
Oh, it's the other guys. I see. I misread that. Yeah. So he with him being back, I assume he'll be better. You would think.
Oh, we would hope.
Well, you hope that these guys who are three stars, who you mentioned, like Jerome Bourne, who didn't even play last year. I'm not sure he registered it, but he didn't play last year, and he was a three-star guy. In other words, you mentioned, they just need, get some movement up front, and then that's how we'll see them get more turnovers, possibly, and be able to get those easy scores. That's what they need. We know they can do a 10-play, 8-minute, 10 plays, 8 minutes, going 75 yards. That's just great, but they also need, they'll need a quick score, a short field, because they're still going to be a team that's probably going to have to score per, match somebody drive for drive, essentially. They're not going to be a team that can get ahead by 14 points and not cruise, but just be comfortable. They're never going to be comfortable except for maybe playing, where they got UTSA, who could be okay, but New Mexico State, they're still not, New Mexico still, okay, let's put it out there, they're not a great team still. They're improving, but they're nothing good by any means. But their running game's good, so that's where they need, like I say, create some turnovers, score three plays, great, do it. That's what they need to do with that defense, and you're exactly right. Get the hands up, knock a ball down somebody, and then maybe get to the quarterback, because their sacks were not very good at sacking the quarterback last year at all, and that's one key thing. If you could do that, obviously you'll be a better team. Just even getting half a sack more a game is huge. You know what I mean? Get six more in the season.
No, totally. So, I mean, is there anything, you have anything else to add about that?
Not on the defense. That's just a very good observation. I didn't really look too much before about their defense line, but that's a key thing. If you got, especially got guys who are that size, get your hand up, man. If you have 6'3", exactly. Look at the guy, like Ja'Cory Green, 6'3", Patron Hightower, 6'4", Dominic Shorty, 6'2", 6'2", 6'5", all these guys. Dude, stick a hand up. You're in pass protection or trying to get the quarterback. He has so much time, you can't get past your lineman or whatever. Jump and get a hand up, man. That wingspan, knock something down. They should have more than just four last year, it looks like. Or at least from the defensive line stat, I should say, not overall, but even line, get a hand up, man. Who knows? Once you tip it, who knows what can happen?
Well, and that being said, the biggest team that you're going to be playing might be Boise State, might be Fresno State. I'm not sure. I don't think Pittsburgh's that big. I really don't think Boise's that big. Maybe Fresno State. In terms of size, pure size alone.
San Diego State, too. Yeah, nothing. They're not playing anybody. Yeah, Pittsburgh's in the American Conference, but nothing. They're probably, size-wise, I could see them being probably the biggest one they'll see, but it's not going to be like going up against Nebraska or Texas. Because Pittsburgh's a run-of-the-mill team. They'll probably go to the bowl game, maybe get 8 wins on the high end. Nothing special, but still a team you got to respect. If they win, it'll be a huge upset, but yeah, there's nobody extravagant they'll be facing. Utah State's got some pretty good linemen. They got Tyler Larson there. It's pretty good. And there's a lot of good centers in the Mountain West. But that's just a center. If you got good defensive ends, bam.
I'm going to go ahead and look at Pittsburgh Panthers roster right now, just so I can, you know, make a comparison to how these guys are. Okay, so they're defensive lines.
Well, we want offensive line, don't we?
Offensive line, sorry. Bad.
Come on.
6'5", 6'6", 6'5", 6'6", 6'2", 6'6", 6'5".
I'm more concerned about how the size they are.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, makes more sense.
They're severely outsized. 310, 335, 330, 340, 300, 325, okay. 325, 295, 285, 275. Yeah, so these guys are big guys. That's going to be your biggest guys that you are going to be facing.
And that's when you really need to stick your hands up, because if you're getting pushed around and you can't make any penetration past the guy, stick your hand up. Who knows what happens? Just don't get locked up, but should be holding if you can't lift your hand up above your head to make a play. But just don't get knocked over and keep your hands up. That size, that's, I don't know, we're probably doing too much over the defensive line, but it's a key point. You got these guys who are like my size or so, and height-wise, about 6'4", around there, just make a move and, yeah, go from there. So let's
because they don't have very many 5'7" defensive linemen.
Better not. You're playing Division III for that size for a defensive lineman.
I will be taking my spot at fullback. Thank you very much.
There you go. All right, so let's move on. Let's just go to the schedule real quick, because if we're going to kind of wrap up who they're going to be on offense, they need to find a wide receiver, or at least a couple. We know Casey Carrier, he'll probably get a increased workload in the passing game, just those quick passes or quick throws, I should say.
Yeah, and if they're worried about Carrier, you know, not being able to catch the ball, once again, you've got Jarrell Presley right behind him, mm-hmm. who probably could be able to. If you want to switch out the running backs, one's more of a pass option running back, and one's more of a just shove your throat down running back. I mean, you got both of those options.
Yeah, if they can get that, the running game will be fine. They just need to find somebody to catch the ball and hope Gauci can actually throw it a little bit better and not just be able to at least throw the ball. And then if they can do that, man, they'll be much better than defense. Just slow the other team down, I guess. Get to the quarterback quickly. That's all we need to really say about that. They'll be turnover margin. That's kind of hard to predict, but if they can keep that pretty comparable, but then add in getting to the quarterback or getting the guys behind the last scrimmage, they could be a real surprise team. And with that, if we just run into the schedule, I don't know too much about UTSA outside. Are they in the Conference USA this year? That's who they open up?
They will be in Conference USA this year.
So it's UT – what's the other one? Texas State's in the Sun Belt, correct?
Texas State will be in the Sun Belt.
Okay, all the conference realignment.
And North Texas will be in Conference USA this year.
That's right. They're moving up a little bit. So they got that. I don't know. What do you know? Do you know anything about UTSA? Should they win this game, you would assume?
Oh, yeah. I mean, even with is it Franchione who's UTSA's coach?
Dennis Franchione? No, they have he's Texas State. They have Larry
Texas
Coker.
State. Yeah, they got Larry Coker. Larry Coker's UTSA team, which I still think they're going to beat. I also have you just some
– They went – here's the thing. They went 8-4 last year, and they're – so it's not like
– Yeah, that was against two FCS teams and then the rest of the piss-poor whack.
Northwest, Oklahoma State Rangers.
Yeah, hey, let me take you off topic real quick. Have you noticed a trend in some of these older coaches trying to bring these newer football programs or maybe not so well-known football programs to glory?
There's not much pressure there. You know what I mean? They bring in it's all for ticket sales. Larry Coker won a national title. Bring him in. Dan Franchione was at Texas A&M, Alabama for half a second.
Well, even remember Schnelly coaching at FAU.
Yeah.
He started that program.
He was the reason they got a stadium there.
Yeah. Then look at Football Bob back here in New Mexico.
He's not really old. He was just away from the game. But the reason they're going to these programs is, A, they want to coach and they don't really care. Like, especially the Davey situation. He was in TV for everyone to coach. Sure, I'll go to New Mexico. Not much pressure. Can't be much. Following Michael Ofsky is like it's like, yes, thank you, please. I'll follow him anywhere after his jobs will ruin it. So it's not that situation. There's nothing you can do wrong. Just don't punch people in the face. Have a recruit take your car. Stuff like that. And then with Texas State UTSA, they're starting a program. And they got in. Those guys are much older. And they want to get back into games. Like, sure, we'll start a program there. Wait a couple years. I'm not sure who the coaches are for Old Dominion or Charlotte, because they're bringing up a program from nothing. So But there's a little bit here and there, I guess. Plus, Franchione's in Texas forever. TCU, Texas A&M. So he's been around, so that's part of reason. And Coker just, sure, he's a name. We'll bring in some people, I guess. But it that makes sense, the reason why. It's low-pressure situation. Get a pretty good paycheck. Check it. I don't think any of these guys really would go to another job because of their age. Highly, well, Franchione, you can't guarantee anything. But you know what I mean? Why would? What's the point at that age?
Right.
Davey, who knows down the road, but
well, so we could wonder if Mike, I don't know. Okay, so back. So I do think they'll beat Larry Coker's UTSA team.
Okay, that game will probably be on the new Mountain West Digital Network with Campus Insiders because there's no TV partner yet. And it's at, unless Root Sports, we have not heard, well, as of this airs, I should probably correct myself. This is being aired a little bit ahead of time, so we don't know for certain if it's on Root Sports or the Mountain West Digital Network. Those are two that are still pending of what we're going to be seeing. So their television situation at this time is up in the air.
Maybe an earlier start date and on ESPN.
No. Really? ESPN?
Yeah, August 27th.
Wednesday? Before the season begins? The first game ever of the year?
Oh, yeah. So no. Like, hey, you know what? If you're not starting with an action, you might as well start with Mountain West action.
Whatever, sure. They'll be. We'll just go UTSA. I know nothing about them. Then we got UTEP, who's it's going to be on Fox College Sports, which I don't know who gets. Nobody, maybe. But UTEP has – it's at the Cool Sun Bowl. Former rivals. Such a pretty cool thing about the game. They used to play each other all the time. They have a new head coach since they can the – as we were discussing before, the elderly Mike Price – no longer
and,
there.
And, you know, since New Mexico now has Aaron Price, the younger.
No, he's at Hawaii.
Oh, he's at Hawaii. I forgot. I was listening to that podcast. Sorry. I was listening, and I got the two mixed up. I'm sorry.
And UTEP was, I don't know, they haven't been good in a while. Even Mike Price, you got the name there. He did okay for a little bit. I remember that crazy game versus University of Houston a couple years ago. And I think they played Texas pretty good once. But they don't do anything for me about saying, oh, it's a winnable game, which is the main thing for and their concern for them, for New Mexico or for New Mexico going to go up against UTEP, who went 3-9 last year, and they lost to who's a funny team they lost to? They lost to Rice. Is that funny?
Things that UTEP did.
Lost to Rice.
Holly Anderson's things that UTEP did this week. So
yes, you can find just search her and UTEP, and you'll find plenty to read about.
Funny, pretty much.
Funny UTEP facts about their offense and everything. So that's a good person to look up. Who knows where it'll be at. It could be on – shoot, she's written so many places. It might be on Sports Illustrated. It might be on Short
– She'll be on Grantland now.
Well, she is right now, I'm saying. But if you search that phrase, it could be on Yahoo.
It would be on Campus Union, Sports Illustrated.
Could be, yeah, most likely. Could be – she worked with her for a little bit here at SB Nation and Yahoo before, so – but search that and you'll find plenty of reading and pinballness about the offense. So that's your required reading this week, to search that and find some funny stuff about their team. They have the pickaxe.
It's your homework.
That's pretty dangerous, right? The pickaxe? But they can't use that on the field, so what does that do for them?
They got to dig up some scores.
Dig up a team, maybe? I don't know.
So anyway, we got New Mexico at 2-0 so far.
I guess their toughest game all year, well, not all year, but at non-conference is, yeah, it's just good at Pittsburgh, because we already discussed Pittsburgh. They have a huge offensive lineman, and do not have Dave Wonstadt, who I mistakenly said last show, and that's about three coaches ago.
Honestly, I honestly, Pittsburgh, outside of the sheer size, Pittsburgh does not scare me. I actually think that if New Mexico has everything clicking, Pittsburgh's a very winnable game.
I don't know. That's it's a tough game. I'm not saying they can't win, because Pittsburgh's going to contend in the new American Conference. They're not going to be up there at Louisville. They'll probably be.
Anybody can contend in the new American Conference. Right. Think about it. Rutgers, Louisville, any single person of the new American Conference can win that conference, including Southern Methodist, Houston, and Temple.
Temple?
Temple. Yes, I said it. Temple can possibly win the new American Conference.
I'm going to go and say no to that. It's going to be Louisville, not even close. But Pittsburgh, like I said, they won eight games last season. They're a weird team. They're always a team where they can be good one week and just terrible the next. They're one of those teams that can kind of flip around and be, you know what I mean, like awesome or terrible at the same time, which is pretty impressive. You know what I mean? if you can be that good or that bad in the same week or same quarter.
Wait a second. Are they out of the American Conference? Oh, shoot. They're out of the American Conference by now.
Oh, wait. You are.
They're ACC.
Oh.
They are ACC.
That is an egregious error. I apologize. So that's right.
They
All the conference realignment that happened in July. So that's right. They're in the ACC. Okay. Let's take a look at that then. So in ACC, doesn't really make a difference who they are. Their recruiting stays the same, even though they've known for about 2 years. They are ranked, here's the thing, USA Today, Paul Meyerberg has them as the number 84th ranked team. Let's just see what New Mexico is really quick. Probably a little bit lower, but this is looking more and more like a game they could, if they can get, this would be, if they were to win this game, how big would it be in the past 5 years in the program? If they could beat
one of them at Pittsburgh. Oh, it would be absolutely huge.
Would it be probably their biggest, I don't remember, did they win the New Mexico Bowl? No, they lost it when they had Rocky Long. But if they win, that could probably be their biggest win. I don't know.
I can't even remember in history.
Well, it wouldn't be history. I know they beat Utah and BYU back in the Mountain West, or the WAC in Mountain West.
Yeah, but they were good back then.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. So this would be their biggest win since they lost Rocky Long. Probably since the year they went to the bowl game for the first time in 50-something years, whatever it was. So this, just because it's a name opponent, they're in the ACC. Let me see what he says about them. We should have read a bit more. But number 84, they're 12-14 in the past 2 years, and they've had, six head coaches, four permanent, partly because of, I don't know which one of this group it was, but I think it was the guy Haywood who left from the MAC and got fired because of domestic abuse or something, or allegedly, or something with got in trouble with law. And they lost to an FCS team last year, lost to UConn. Way to go, guys.
You guys lost to UConn. You basically revoke all your privileges.
But yet they won over Rutgers and South Florida. The FCS opponent they lost to was Youngstown State. So, yeah, they are, as you can tell, Jekyll and Hyde easily.
And that's why I think, like, if New Mexico stays focused, like, this is a very extremely winnable game for them.
The only thing they have going for them is, like, Paul Christ is there, their offensive coordinator, came from head coach came from Wisconsin. This is his second year, so they should be, not they'd be better, but 8 wins, they're still pretty good. But they're just a team that we don't know what's going to happen to them, just because.
And also, now that Pittsburgh is officially in the ACC, I would like to introduce Jeremy. You guys cannot see this, but I'm introducing Jeremy into the ACC Wheel of Derp.
Okay.
So, even though they don't play Wake Forest this year,
oh man,
New Mexico could be the equivalent of losing to Wake Forest.
Okay, that's fair. Pittsburgh does have a bye before they play, so that's huge.
After, you know, they've lost to Florida State.
Yes, that's who they play for. Now, excellent, Will, here. Nice. It is, I can't read what it says. It's too small when I spin the wheel. We'll put this in the notes. We'll make sure it's in the page to have your own fun with the wheel. But, yeah, we're not going to go each game. But that game, I can see it going either way just because New Mexico is going to be 2-0, have some confidence. They have a bye week after it, so they're not going to be – not that it really matters. We're not, you know what I mean? If you have a bye week the next week, you're not going to leave anything on the field as you would if you had a game on Thursday afterwards. But it helps going cross-country and – the week after to make sure you know what you're doing. You just put it all out there and you can not care about the next week since you just have the week off. But I got to give Pittsburgh the edge with what they have just because they have better athletes overall. And I would, it'd still be an upset if they were to beat Pittsburgh somehow.
Oh, it would be a huge upset.
Nationally, yeah, it'd be huge nationally. I'm looking up, yeah, because New Mexico, Paul Meyerberg has them at 108. So it's still almost 30 spots away from Pittsburgh. But the game, if Pittsburgh plays bad like they did last year, it's something they could win. So that's a key, very key game because they start 3-0. They have that bye week. Then they go to UNLV.
No, they're at home versus UNLV.
I mean, they play. Here's the thing. You want to put a shocker on this season? They could be, not joking, 6-0.
They could be
6-0 going in.
6-0.
Hosting
Utah
State. They
could be bowl eligible. They could be bowl eligible by the time they play Utah State.
Do you think that's realistic, 6-0?
No, I think more realistic that they're 5-1 to start the season.
Because they played three home games.
What?
Yeah, they got three home games.
They got three home games, but the two away games, okay, you're playing at UTEP and at Wyoming, who I've already said before, I mean, we haven't done we haven't talked about Wyoming in the podcast yet, but I've already said it before. I'm not impressed by Wyoming. I honestly think that New Mexico is a firmly better team than Mountain. I think that they can easily beat Wyoming.
If you were to put a percentage on them being 6-0 heading into Utah State game, what would that be?
20%.
20%?
20%.
The thing is, it's still New Mexico, and they still screw up. Until they prove me otherwise, it's hard to say that they'll be 6-0. Because, honestly, I could seriously see them...
And that's what I said.
I honestly could see them also being 1-5.
Really?
Well,
I don't think... I honestly don't think with Football Bob's tenure that they can possibly... I think, at worst, they start 3-3.
I'm just saying, going by history and what they did last year, all those close games last year within a touchdown...
Yeah, but, I mean, that was, once again, year one, you're bringing in a new system, you're bringing in new players.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, and we've talked about this, you know, Gauchi's going to be a little bit older, hopefully a little bit more mature. You're bringing in your guys who know your system a little bit better after 1 year of training. I expect full improvement.
Well, so do I. I'm just saying it's not out of the realm of possibility to them being... Same old New Mexico, 2 wins, 1 win. So, here's the other thing. If they are either 5-1 or 6-0 heading into Utah State, will they be ranked in the top 25?
Absolutely not.
Will they be getting votes by anybody?
Probably not.
Nothing? Even if they're 6-0, no votes? I know they're scheduled.
Well, you know what? No, if they're 6-0, they'll be receiving votes, but they will not be ranked in the top 25.
Okay. I think if they're 6-0, man, that's... I guess if you wasn't in Ohio last year, who was undefeated, they had a terrible, piss poor schedule.
And that's the thing is they've got a piss poor schedule, and that's the only thing they have going against them. But it's perfect for making a bowl game.
Yeah, but then the second half, because I don't think they'll beat Utah State. Well, no, the offense is a bit quirky, and Utah State would have already faced Air Force, so they'll kind of be, and maybe Nevada at that point, perhaps. I'm not sure, but at least Air Force, they'll be familiar. With a run-based offense.
So right.
They'll play... So, yeah, just Air Force. They actually don't play Nevada that year. I was looking at who they missed. But that's a tough game. It's at home. And I'm assuming that game will be on Root Sports because it's still TBA. I'm assuming... I don't know if Root Sports... Or maybe ESPN. They might have the option to pick up a game or two middle of the season because they still have a couple extra, I believe. So there's a possibility of that. Because that could be – is Utah State and New Mexico, they're in the same division, correct?
Yes.
So that could be one of the first key Mountain Division games. And then second half
–
Yeah, second half is pretty tough. At San Diego State, host Air Force. And schedule –
Host Colorado State.
Yeah, then you go on the road for Fresno and Boise. So those last half is much difficult with three very tough road games and then five tough games overall. So if they're going to get to a bowl game – We don't need to discuss what Boise State is going to happen to Fresno. They're not going to, odds of them winning that game are pretty slim. They'll probably beat CSU. Because thing is, I think they need to be 5-1 to make a bowl game at midseason. Because I don't think they'll beat Utah State. I don't think they'll beat San Diego State.
No, I don't think so either.
It's Air Force CSU.
Yeah.
That's why they have to beat 5-1. And I could maybe see Utah State just because it's just a weird offense and stuff happens.
No, I can't.
Not at all?
No.
Okay. I just think it's a small chance, nothing huge. I'd give them a better okay, let me rephrase, a better chance. Maybe I'm saying that because I give them a better chance over San Diego State, Fresno, and Boise State. Partly because they're all on the road. So that'd probably put them fourth, but still no walk in the park. It's still a very good team. And so, if they go 5-1 mid going into the Utah State game, I'm confident they'll make a bowl game.
Yeah.
Do you think out of any teams the second half second half schedule, do you think there's any upsets in the works they could possibly get over those last six games out of the big four we mentioned? Is Utah State your most likely scenario?
Utah State's my most likely scenario, and even then I don't see them beating Utah State at all.
Not even San Diego State at all? No Aztec victory perhaps?
No, because you're at Qualcomm. I mean, I mentioned this before the podcast, so obviously nobody was listening. So I was at the game July 5th, the U.S. national team versus Guatemala.
Soccer, folks, soccer.
Soccer, international friendly. and they had 25,000 people there. The stadium looked absolutely dead, and with 25,000 people there, I'm pretty sure there were more people there than at a San Diego State game.
Yeah, close. But yeah, we know there's home field event. Part of it, you got a giant stadium. If they had a 40,000 seat stadium, that 25 or maybe 30,000 would look pretty good. But when it's 70,000, they share with the Chargers. The only time they have a really good home game is if even the bowl game, they get this past year at BYU, who has a ton of alum down there and people travel. It's not terribly far. It wasn't that full. Their biggest game is when they get the it's some fireworks show down there. You know what it's called, where they do the flyover and stuff? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
They do. I forget what it's called, some festival fireworks. That's not sold out, but they'll get 60,000 for one game a year. I don't think it'll be that game, but that's just something, the one time they'll get a full stadium. Even then, halftime the stadium fills up. First half, it's still a normal Aztec game, essentially.
But this is – okay, but, you know, going back to that, even with an empty San Diego State stadium, I do not see New Mexico going on the road and beating SDSU.
Okay, so if we're going to go for – if we do best – let's kind of do best case, worst case really quick. I think the – because we're just about done here with this New Mexico stuff. But if we go best case scenario, like they overachieve, I could see them being 8-4.
Just because – who's your two upset wins?
Well, Pittsburgh. It's not an upset win, but
– so that's not an upset.
Well, it's
an upset, but it wouldn't be surprising.
At the moment, I don't think it'd be overly surprising. It would be surprising, but nothing like them beating Boise State. But I have them starting 6-0. Then they'll lose to, but it's not upset. Then the other two wins are Colorado State and Air Force.
Air Force, yeah.
And that's losing 3 on the road. And you know, I mean, that's not because they could, I don't know if they will, but that's probably their best case scenario, 8-4.
And see, that's a very realistic best case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, their worst case scenario, I can totally see the worst case scenario being 4-8.
I could see worse than that. Like I said, I could maybe 0-6 to start the year. Maybe.
You really? Okay.
I'm just saying, let's go 1-5 because New Mexico State's, hold on a minute. maybe 1-5 because UTSA, they won 8 games last year and they know how to win. They're not like this new program. They're a new program, but they're not one that's just terrible or awful. And so, that if they go 1-5, I don't want to say 1-11. That's pretty harsh. But 2-10, maybe worst case. That like includes losses to. Let's put it this way: they're not beating Pitt. They're
losing to UTSA. They're losing to UTEP. They're losing to Pitt.
Well, like
they're losing to UNLV again.
Well, I would see these games at home. Maybe not, but I could see them losing all the road games. You know what I mean? And then that includes losing.
That's what I said,
UTEP.
4-8.
Maybe you're right, because all their road games out in the second half is quite difficult. We're not Fresno, Boise, SDSU, so we're already counting those losses. I would assume lose to UTEP, lose to Pitt, 2 losses there. So I guess UTSA. See, I could be up in the air just because they haven't proven it to me. They've been so bad forever. That's why I could see them losing to that team. And UNLV should be better. They got Tim Cornette. Nick Sherry should be better throwing the ball. They have a offense finally might be a little better. I just don't know too much about New Mexico State. It's pretty bad. But I guess I'll go 3 wins at the worst 10, beating New Mexico State, UTSA, and UNLV, something like that, but lose to Colorado State and Air Force.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that worst case. But, I mean, most likely scenario, I know you're fairly hesitant on them making a bowl game, but I'm very confident on New Mexico making a bowl game this year.
The thing is, they have no guarantee wins. Like, some schools, they're going to win no matter what. The closest thing to a guarantee they have is probably New Mexico State.
New Mexico State,
and UTSA.
Yeah.
Historically, they haven't played well against New Mexico State. They've lost games to them recently.
Right.
But if I'm going to go kind of what I think they will do at this juncture, as we're still weeks away from the season, I'm leaning more towards you because I haven't looked at their schedule all that closely at the point. I'm kind of doing some schedule, kind of who has a tougher schedule, but schedule sets up nice. I could see them getting into a bowl game because as long as, assuming they go win five, if they can go 4-2 in the first six at worst, I could see them getting into a bowl game. But they really need to go 5-1. I would see, I'm on the fringe. I'm closer to saying the bowl game than not, but I would say probably five or six wins is where they're at this year. It's probably what should be expected. I'd say a bowl game for me would be overachieving a little bit, but I'm still going to go with 5 wins, but it wouldn't shock me if they get to a bowl game at 6.
Yeah, so you're thinking more of a 5-7, and I'm thinking 6-6.
Yeah, I'm leaning more toward, just because I want to see them do it first. They haven't done it, so I think 5 wins would be perfectly acceptable and fine. If they do 6 or I think of more than 6, it's just hey, we're moving in the right direction. Getting a bowl game in year 2 after what they've done, it'll be amazing. So I think they'll be very close to a bowl game, but not quite there yet.
Gotcha.
And so I think that does it here. Chris says bowl game. I say not so sure. I could be the big downer and say one, maybe go 2 wins, but that's pretty extreme. But I think, like I said, bowl game is probably where they is their goal. I'm assuming that would make sense from Bob Davies' perspective and who they have going on for the beginning of the year. Bowl game is expectation. And do you have any tidbit you want to add about New Mexico or football, Bob? You want to throw out there before we finish?
Football, Bob, like football.
Football, Bob. There we go. All right, everyone. So thanks for just hanging out for our podcast. Make sure to visit mwcconnection.com for all the 2013 previews we have going on through podcast. Our top 50 countdown list. I like that controversy so far. Man, whatever. I don't know, we haven't done it yet. I'm worth just saying this ahead of time. But look out for that top 50 list. We got our non-conference previews. And
top 50. Yep.
Top 50 player, and we number one will not be known yet. Number one will be known about a week, 2 days before the season begins. So just check out to mwcconnection.com, listen to the podcast, and visit us every second of every day. Is that a good goal for people to do?
Right.
Bookmark it?
Well, okay, not every second of every day, but definitely visit, visit us at least once a day because we'll have stuff and interesting stuff to read.
Hopefully. That's the plan, right?
You know, and oh yes, visit our store and buy t-shirts.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna probably promise and maybe under deliver, but when this airs, perhaps we're gonna make some more generic t-shirts that are specific to each state. So look out for that state and school color. So we'll see how that goes out. Buy a t-shirt, give us a couple bucks maybe, that'd be nice. But I'd like to thank everybody for just listening to our show tonight and join us next time.